This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott.
This is the Great Glass Wonkavator.
It's an elevator.
It's a Wonkavator.
From Willy Wonka's glass contraption to the blood-filled nightmare from The Shining, the elevator has played a pivotal role in scenes from film and literature, surprisingly given its compact size. But as a social space, the elevator really is unlike any other. Depending on the context, it can be intimate or claustrophobic or frightening or comic or embarrassing or sexy. Putting aside our modern perceptions of the elevator, let us imagine how these cramped cabins would have seemed to a person stepping inside one for the very first time in the mid to late 19th century. Andreas Bernard is a professor of cultural studies at the Leiphana University in Lüneburg. His new book is called Lifted, A Cultural History of the Elevator, and joins us now on the line. Hello, Andreas.
Hello, Virginia.
Let's talk about how they fit into the elevator itself, fit into the social landscape at the time. What kind of buildings were outfitted with elevators? Obviously, tall ones.
Yeah, you could say that the condition of possibility for high-rise buildings in the middle of the 19th century was the elevator. You can have an example, the most prominent example, New York City. Manhattan was already pretty crowded around 1850. For example, the Wall Street thought about going to Brooklyn because there was not much space anymore in the island of Manhattan. And you could not build higher buildings than 4 or 5 stories because no one wanted to go upstairs so many stories. And so the elevator basically in the 1850s was the reason that Manhattan could still grow vertically.
And it also changed the social hierarchy. Back in the day, having an apartment at the top of the stairs was a lot less desirable than, you know, because you had to climb, right?
Absolutely. For my book, I studied 20 or 30 volumes of traveling books with hotel recommendations in Europe and the U.S. And you could always say until the 1880s, 1890s, the higher you got, the cheaper the rooms were. Hmm. And on the other hand, the apartment buildings in Europe, you had this famous bel étage, the first floor,
right,
which were the most exciting and the most expensive flats. And under the roof, there were in France, the chambre de bonne, the rooms for the maids, or you had the attic, which was a very poor space. And you can tell that within a very short time, let's say between 1880 and 1920, everything switched. And in the early 20th century, you then had the penthouse or the roof gardens or the executive top floor. And I think the elevator was responsible for this revolutionary of the vertical structure of high-rise buildings.
Getting into the elevator itself, it's a strange social space. You know, people don't know whether to say hello to each other, talk to each other, or are you supposed to remain silent. How did that begin?
Yeah, it's an absolutely strange space. And, you know, it's still, after 150 years, it's a strange space. But in the second half of the 19th century, when the elevator was invented in apartment buildings or hotels, people could not tell if it's a vehicle or if it's just a space. And gentlemen, they were not sure if they should leave their hat open when they came into an elevator or if they should put it down. Because in a normal room, they would have kept it on the head, and in a means of transportation, like a coach, they would have put it down. And you could also tell when you saw how the early elevators were furnished, because they were furnished like a living room. Maybe you have seen in cities like Vienna or Budapest, you still have those old elevators which are furnished with a chandelier on the ceiling and with a sofa on the ground. So there was this irritation. What is an elevator? Is it really a means of transportation, or is it a living room which moves upward and downward?
But something interesting happens inside of elevators. Maybe for some people it's the fear of getting stuck or the smallness of the space. You call it a secular confessional. What do you mean by that, Andreas?
Yeah, you know, it was during the research for the book, I watched tons of Hollywood movies because I was in search of movies which were located in elevators or which were certain scenes played in an elevator. And I always made the experience that in movies, elevators get stuck. And at the same time, I read some statistics, some technical statistics, that in real life, elevators, since a couple of decades, don't get stuck anymore because they are so safe. So there's a kind of tendency that in movies, you want to have an elevator stuck. Why is this the case? The moment where people get stuck in an elevator together is always a moment of truth. You know, let's say a couple which had hidden secrets, they get stuck together and they confess it. The room, the space which is so narrow and which is so closed, is like a real confessional, a space where you're forced to say the truth.
Andreas Bernard is with us. He's author of a new book called Lifted. It's a cultural history of the elevator. You know, we all know elevators so well, it seems a little mundane. So I'm curious about why you wanted to research the history of the elevator.
Maybe two reasons. One reason for research, it was that at the beginning I figured out that a lot of TV commercials played in an elevator at the same time. So maybe 10 years ago, if you turned on the TV, there were 10 or 12 or 14 TV commercials at the same times, which were located in an elevator. And I asked myself, why is that the case? And then I figured out that the products, they had all to do with intimacy, you know, shampoo for dandruffs or chewing gum or washing powder. And I found out that an elevator, because it's so dense and so hermetic, is kind of a laboratory for products. If you see in an elevator, if somebody has dandruffs or if somebody has a bad smell in the mouth, then you can tell that this product will really help to change that. So that was my first impact as a researcher. And on the other hand, I would say that there is maybe kind of a biographical background, because my parents grew up in Vienna, and as a child I went to them to their old apartment building in Vienna, and they really had this old elevator in the house from maybe 1880, where you still had to put in a coin, you know, to get it moving, and it still was furnished with a chandelier and a couch. And so maybe I had a hidden impact from this old memory. So I think there were those two reasons maybe to get interested in the elevator.
Andreas Bernard, professor of cultural studies at Leifuna University in Lüneburg. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Andreas's new book is called Lifted, A Cultural History of the Elevator. You can learn more about the book and check out a list of some of our favorite elevator scenes from TV and film. That's all at wordofmouthradio.org.